There, knowing where Brother Dale's at, knowing where if you're saved you can go. And again, it's not goodbye. It is see you later. If you're saved, it is see you later. And I think that later is going to be sooner than later. I'm just being honest when I say that. Heard it said many times, Brother Dale believed with all his heart that he'd go by way of the rapture. Mom and I have talked about that many times. I have that belief and I have that hope too. I really do. I do, but I know if I don't, I'll still be there. Only by the grace of God. I'm thankful for what he's done for us and what he's doing for us and what he's going to do for us. You think about these songs that's being sang and about heaven and what that's going to be like. We read and see what John has written down, what Paul has written down, and only the half has yet been told. And what we see, and we do see through a glass darkly. And that's just kind of how it is on this human side of life. I believe it'd be good for us to go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we get started. And I wonder if anybody would have any special objects or anything this morning they'd like to mention before we pray.
Brother Jason, I have several. Bob Shoemaker, that's in Legion with us, is in ICU and with lung cancer. It's really bad. They say that he's given about a month. And also, Greer Carmen, he's also in Legion with us, and his colon cancer has come back. And Tom Grayville has had his problems also.
Amen. Amen. Let's remember these men in the American Legion with Brother Allen and others. Let's remember them in our prayers. Much to be in prayer for. Let's remember the family today, and I'll try, not selfishly, but ask you for your prayers also. I desire your prayers for today. Yes, amen. Pray for Sister Rebecca, Sister Betty. Yes, amen. Sure do appreciate all those who have stepped in and helped with the family. It's a big responsibility, and what a blessing it is that our church family steps in and does what they do. That's a blessing. It's appreciated, I know. Amen. Let's remember the Coffee family in our prayers. Sickness going around and things. All right. If there's not any others, I ask Brother Patrick if you would to lead us in prayer this morning. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that this morning as preparing, reflecting, and I believe I told Brandy about it and mentioned it, you know, thinking about last Sunday. I believe Brother Curtis had asked Brother James to pray before we went to Sunday school, but he also asked after that Brother Dale to pray before the message. And, you know, he lifted me up in prayer like he has and does and did and everything, and never thinking that would be probably the last time I'd hear him pray. And that's something. There's a last time for things, but I tell you, I want us this morning, I'm going to try to, if I can, maybe lift our spirits in a little different way. And really, I just want to preach on Jesus this morning. Just want to lift him up and think about a name above every name. That's the hope we have. That's the consolation I have, Brother Norman. That's the only consolation that I need. That's enough. I think sometimes we lose our placement as man, as people. We lose our placement in life and think about how we perceive things are, how they could have been, what things could have looked like had it not been for Jesus and what he's done for us in our lives, and just really who he is and how he placed himself. I want us to see that this morning. If you don't mind, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11. And I want to kind of, again, the title this morning is A Name Above Every Name. But I want us to kind of see first, as we take off and start here, is the mind of Christ. You want to know somebody's mind, what they're thinking. The beautiful thing about Jesus is he showed us in his life. But it goes on a little further, and I just thank God for how he's laid this out in my heart this morning. We can miss it if we're not careful. Because this passage starts off as man. It starts off with Christ. Then it goes into talking about him becoming as likeness of man, being like us. And so that's the level at which we are. And so that's all we know. We don't know what it's like to be higher than us. We don't know what it's like to be lower than us. But I hope by the help of the Lord this morning, maybe we can get an idea of that. Maybe that'll set things a little bit different in our hearts. It says here, Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," remembering who he is, "being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Lord, we come to you this morning, thanking you for this time and thanking you for your word. God, today we need you so much, Lord, in every way. We need you every day. I think sometimes it's more obvious some days than others, God, that's made obvious to us, but you are always you. You're in the placement that you're in, and God, we need to see that and appreciate that every day. But God, I do pray for the Hayes family. I pray for everyone here today, everyone that will be here. God, I pray that you help us. I pray you help me and God, my mind and heart. Lord, help me to say everything you'd have me to, the way you'd have me to say it. Lord, it's important we follow your word. And again, Lord, I pray for everyone taking part in the service, everyone, Lord, that's come alongside the Hayes family and helping them, Lord. We just pray for them. And we pray for Miss Betty, Sister Rebecca, Lord. We pray for both of them that you just help them and comfort them and lift their spirits, God, during this time and these days to come, and help us to be who we're supposed to be and come alongside them and help them, Lord. Just help us, God. We're a needy people. Help us, Father, just now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We see here, talking about Jesus and understanding in some of our Sunday school classes that we have had recently, talks about this very thing, talking about Jesus being all God and all man. I've preached and taught on that a whole lot, and I, by the grace of God, intend to keep on going that route, because that's exactly what we need to hear and understand and realize how important Jesus is in our life. I think sometimes that name His name gets thrown around a whole lot, and people don't give the reverence to it that it needs. And if we're not careful, that can tarnish the name of Jesus, and we should never allow that to happen. But in talking about this here, talking about his placement, him not being in robberies, the way it's saying here, talking about him taking on the mind, the form of a servant, and became in likeness of men. So when we see that and we read the Bible and we think about Jesus Christ as a man, that's maybe not so hard because we look around the room, we see other people, we see men and women around us, so that's kind of our level of knowledge and what we know. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be less than what you are? Not exalting ourselves, but we're not the lowest on the food chain. Did not God create us to have dominion over all the things back in Genesis? That we were supposed to be over all the fowls of the air, all the fishes in the sea. We were to have dominion over all them. And we, as Adam, even got to give them all their name. That's a lot of accountability and that's a lot of authority. So as man, I'm not exalting us, but we're not the lowest on the food chain. We're not. How many of you like ants? We'll talk about ants a little bit. Brother Norman likes ants. Amen. Yeah. How many of you killed an ant this week? A lot of, yeah, especially in the spring. I'd say some people's probably got some stock in Toro, don't you? Everybody knows what Toro is. You don't want the cheap stuff, you want the good stuff. That's the stuff that wipes them out, right? Well, why would you want to kill an ant? What did the ant ever do to you? Well, he come in my house. Okay, well, what did he do while he's there? I don't know, but he's in my house and I didn't want him there. He's a nuisance. Didn't like that. How many of you, if you're walking, especially in the yard or out somewhere where it's grassy, if you're walking, do you stop and you look to make sure that you don't step on an ant hill? Or do you just kind of go about your business? Or do you say, ooh, there's an ant hill and I want to stomp it out? You see, it's easy maybe to think that's a pest, we're above it, I just want to wipe it out because it's a nuisance and it's a pest, it's a burden, it's a problem. Did you know once upon a time, and I say even today, that man was a problem to God? It repented at him at his heart that it even made us. We were such a pest. Brother Al, that's all he had to do is wipe out that house hill that we call, it'd be an ant hill to him, wouldn't it? If you put us in our place where we don't exalt ourselves. Now, you look at it the way the Lord's laid this on my heart. Imagine that you had such a love for the ant that you wanted to save all the ants. Well, what would you do? You know, maybe try to be careful not to step on the ant hill and, you know, maybe try to gather as many of them together as you could to make sure they're safe and all that and look after them and take care of them, but would you want to live like one? Would you want to take on the form of an ant and live like an ant? Where are you going with this, preacher? I'm giving you the best analogy that the Lord's laid on my heart. Would you want to live as an ant, let's say 33 years? Face everything that the ant faces, that big human that's trying to stomp you out and cause you problems and everything and try to navigate through that. Would you want to live a life like that? Trying to find your food and trying to crawl up and down in and out of the earth and way down there and everything, burrowing and all that kind of stuff in the ground, trying to find food. Would you rather live as an ant or the person that you are right now? I'd rather live like the person I am right now, I mean, honestly. Amen. But now you look at things on a different view, thinking about the mind of Christ. It's not that he was sitting up here looking down saying, I'll try to help them from afar. He said, I'm going to help them in the way that they need help and they can't even see it. They don't even know it. You think about the ant, how much you think the ant knows about you and me? Not a thing until he comes in contact with us, right? If an ant never saw a person, he would never know that a person existed. And he wouldn't know that they were a threat unless they come along and stepped on his house or put out the Toro, tried to kill him, tried to hurt him. Wouldn't even know. It's important that you and I have to understand we would never know a thing about God if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know. We wouldn't know. You talk about a love for a lesser, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has for us. Not even had, but has. That's a present tense. That's his mind. You look up the word mind in the dictionary, that's the intention, the purpose, and design. That's how God's design for us was to have a way of seeing him was Jesus Christ. He loved us so much that he was like, you know what? I will take on the life of a human being to show them what righteousness looks like, what it's supposed to be like. We are the type of people, I know I am. There's some folks, maybe you can tell them something one time and say, do this, and maybe they can do that. I can't. I need you to show me. Take me by the hand and show me probably more than one time, and then let me do it a few times before I can really start to grasp what I'm supposed to do. God knows that about us. When he sent Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He walked this earth. He taught people. He showed us how to live, and he lived that example out in front of us. Do this. Do it like this. Boy, you think about a name above every name. It's not hard to see and understand why that name is Jesus Christ. And it says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're supposed to take on the mind that he has. So what was his mind? His mind was to take care of humanity, take care of each other. We're supposed to take care of each other. That comes at no surprise. Love one another as I have loved you is what the Bible says. But to stay on the context, verse number 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so as he was taking on the form of a man, it was not robbery. It was not wrong. He was not taking away from God when he was taking on the body of a man. He was fulfilling something. You know, when we see it like that, using our analogy, if we were to take on the lesser and become the ant, but Brother Norman, you had your mind. And all the other ants didn't have your mind. Well, all the other ants would think you're pretty smart, wouldn't they? Man, this ant knows everything. He knows when it's going to rain. He knows what's coming tomorrow. Somehow he knows all these things, and I don't know those things. How does he know all that stuff? He looks just like us. He walks around just like us, and he's from around here like us, but yet it's like he knows things that we don't know. That's Jesus Christ. That's how he is in our life. That's what he represents in our life. But you know, still yet, there's people that deny who he is, deny what he's done. The Bible says, let this mind be in us. He thought it wasn't robbery to take on this form because he had a purpose, the intention, the purpose, and the design. You look at verse number 7, it said, but made himself of no reputation. Wouldn't it have been more powerful for him to sit on his throne and navigate from his throne what we're supposed to do? Showing his power, his glory as a king. That's what the Jewish people desired. They didn't want to see the son of a carpenter in their eyes, not knowing he was the son of God, riding up on a donkey into Jerusalem. That's not what they wanted to see. They wanted to see this majestic thing. They wanted to see this big thing, not somebody spending his first night in a manger. That's not what they wanted to see. That's not big enough. That's not miraculous enough. Unless you believe what the Bible says, and it's absolutely miraculous. When you think about how it came together, he made himself of no reputation. You think about you this morning, leaving the place that you're at, however you perceive that. Leaving that place and now you're living the life of an ant. Don't you think where you're at now is a little bit elevated above that? But now you're living that low life because you love that group so much you want to change their lives. You want to elevate them. You want to lift them up. And that's what he's saying here. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I tell you, there's a lot to look on right there. I want to stop and read something here in Hebrews chapter number 2 for just a minute. These verses go together so well. Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 9, it says this. It says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." Talking about God. Remember, we're talking about in Genesis when he placed this earth under dominion of man. That's you and me, believe it or not. He placed the dominion of this earth. He placed us in power to oversee things in the earth. That's how he designed it to be. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" I slowed down for just a minute and I read that. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot in the word visit, isn't there? Visit. That means to go and see, to come and see. Visit with somebody. You know, I mean, sometimes we call, sometimes we text, what have you, but it's different when somebody comes to visit with you. You know, like I was saying, the Lord could have chose to do things maybe in a different light from his throne in heaven, not down here, but you know what he did? He came to visit with us. He came to be with us. The most special times I've ever had in my life, inside a church, outside a church, is when the Holy Spirit comes to visit with me. He comes to speak with me, to lift me up, to help me, to encourage me. And the way the context is reading here is that who is man that he would even come visit him? Who are we? Who do we think we are? That the Creator of everything would come and visit with us, that he loves us that much that he wants to visit with us. I want to go be with you. You know, that takes effort. That takes forethought. That takes some want to go visit and be with somebody. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Who are we? Is the question that Paul is asking here. So thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Talking about man here. You and I. Look at what it says here. It's talking about you and me. Thou madest him, God made us, lower than man, or lower than angels. Thou crownest him with the glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. After God created this earth, he put man over it. He said, now you multiply. You go and you have dominion over this earth. Now you replenish it. You think that's any kind of responsibility or accountability? That's a big job. You know, he did not give that to the animals. He didn't give it to the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the ant. He didn't give it to any of them. He gave it to us. He gave us accountability to do that. But again, it says here, crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. God wants us to do his work, the work of him. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things, put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. That's something. I feel accountable when I read this. I feel responsible when I read this. What do you mean? I mean, when we have the Word of God, we come together to teach, to preach, to have church, and the weight and responsibility of sharing this. God gave that to us to share. We're supposed to take that out to people. You know, you say, why? This isn't a missions conference. What are you talking about? This is the best and only consolation I have for you. We have the Word of God in our hands to help us. We have the Word of God explaining what Jesus Christ did for us in our lives, placing himself in a lowly state. Look what it says in verse number 9. It says, but we see Jesus. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came into your life? Has he ever visited with you? Amen. Hope he visits with us today. We need it. I need it. I tell you, I've felt his presence this week in a special way. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, just like you and me. You stop right there for just a second and think about what that is saying. Jesus was made lower than the beings that were created to worship him. Isn't that, I mean, church, that's love. I love this people so much that I'm willing to take myself down, to lower myself to their level, if I can say it that way. He was in the same flesh that you and I are in. If that flesh was different, then it would kind of negate everything that we've been talking about. He experienced the things that we experience is what the Bible teaches us. Do you want to experience everything that the ant is experiencing today? Where am I going to find my food? Where am I going to live? Is some big giant going to come and wipe out my house and I have to build it all over again? No knowledge directly of God like what you and I have. Think about that. We could have been born a lot of different ways. We could have been exposed or in a lot of different circumstances than what we're in. But aren't you glad you're in church this morning exposed to the Word of God? Amen, I am. I feel like I have some knowledge. I feel like I have some enlightenment to know who God is. But why? Because Jesus came to this earth in likeness of man to show us who He is. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. You look at it that way, that kind of changes the picture a little bit more, makes it a little bit deeper in my heart. I could look at it and say, yes, I'm going to go and live as the ant lives, and they're going to look up to me, and because I'm going to know things they don't know, they're going to think, wow, this person is smart, this ant is smart, knows things, and oh my goodness, I want to be like that ant. But here's the thing, it wasn't to come down and live a majestic life, it was to come and live a life of a servant and then die for him, Brother Allen. Die for him. Not a quick death, not a painless death, nothing like that at all. It's the worst death that a person can die from, but yet willingly. Nobody here, and I haven't, and I would say nobody here has seen a true crucifixion. We've seen things on TV, maybe. You don't see capital punishment played out as much as maybe you used to. But as violent as maybe the electric chair could be and is, and maybe as peaceful in some ways that euthanasia is, somebody being put to sleep, neither one of those hold a candle to what the cross was, what the cross is. Jesus, knowing that's what it was going to take for you and I to have a way of repentance, He said, I will go down and I will do this for these people. I will make myself of a lower state so these people will have a way of salvation. That speaks to my heart. I'm so thankful that I know who Jesus is this morning. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The Bible teaches us that for the Christian, that God took the sting out of death, Brother Finley. Just stop and think about that. Stop and think about that. Because of Jesus Christ's death for us, the death that He died for us on the cross, the worst death that somebody could die, He actually took the sting out of death for you and me. And here's the thing. You'll never know what you missed. Stop and think about that. You'll never know. If you're saved, you'll never know what that sting feels like. We don't know what we have, Brother Patrick, in Jesus Christ. We just don't know. We go about our lives, digging our ant hills, burrowing in and out of situations, going through life just like that, never looking up and realizing who God really is and thinking about who Jesus Christ really is and what He's done for us. Going back to Philippians chapter 2. Again, He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He's made just like you and me. You know how hard and how different that would be for an unlimited God to be placed in something like this? I tell you, if you woke up like an ant in the morning, you'd feel different. I know I would. I'm a big guy. I'd feel different. Maybe some of you little folks wouldn't, but I would. That's different. You think about God. And think about it like this. I think sometimes I'm going to use myself, I see Jesus in his 3 years of the ministry, but you think about him as a baby. God knows what it feels like to be a baby. He knows what it feels like to be an infant. He knows what it feels like to be a first grader. Let's put it that way. Coming up, he knows no matter what stage of life you're in, he knows what that feels like because he put himself there. That's love. When you look at something like that, that's love that somebody of his stature and his placement would be willing to place himself as low as we are just to help us out. A name above every name. It says here, verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isn't it amazing how Philippians and Hebrews comes together like that? Here's the thing about the gospel, Brother Norman, it never changes, and it never will. You know, I think from week to week and time to time, think about witnessing to people, preaching to people, sharing the gospel with people. You think, how could I say this in a different light that maybe this time they would accept it? Well, guess what? The gospel never changes. It's never going to change. You know why? Because truth never changes. The truth never changes. I thank God for that. It always stays the same. Jesus was obedient to his Father. He did exactly what God the Father, he's never in opposition with what God the Father was asking him to do. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse number 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Just the fact that you're here this morning and you've heard the name of Jesus, that's everything to you. That's the only thing you really need to know in life. If there is one thing that I could share with you about anything, any kind of advice or example in life, that would be the one thing I would share with you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Something Brandy and I have talked about several times in our life is he really the Lord of our life? We say Jesus Christ, the Lord. Sometimes, like we've heard the name, sometimes, like we know the name, sometimes, yes, I know him. Yes, I know who he is. And sometimes I talk to him. Sometimes I have a relationship with him. But is he your Lord? I mean, do you really look at him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to accomplish today? Lord, I know that I'm here for you. You chose to be here for me, but I want to be here for you back in return. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. In verse number 10 it says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. I want to stop there for just a second. There is nobody in this room, in this county, state, country, in this world, that is not going to bow their knee and confess to Jesus Christ. Nobody. This isn't talking about, well, people who just believe in Jesus. This is talking about every man, woman, child, everyone that was created. What an opportunity that this is given to us today that we can now make a choice. You know what? I can bow and confess to him right now. I don't want there to be anything as a saved person. I don't want there to be anything lingering and hanging over me when I pass and I go on to face Jesus. I don't want there to be anything. I want everything to be under the blood. I don't want anything that I would have to take and look at him face to face and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I never dealt with this sin. I didn't think this day would come. I thought maybe I could put it off, it'd go away, and then face to face with him. Face to face. It's going to happen. I say this to the saved person. If there is something there in your life that you need to get out, now is the time to do it because we don't know when that face-to-face encounter is going to take place. But I want it to be a good one. Might hear more about that later. I want it to be a good one. Now, you think about it like this. What if I'm lost? What if I'm lost? then you will face him with that guilt, that shame, and you will be judged for it without the grace of Jesus Christ on your life. The last place you want to be in judgment is without representation. The worst thing I have ever seen, and I'm being honest, I didn't see it much, but I've seen it before. The worst thing that I've seen by way of court is somebody saying, I'm going to represent myself. You face Jesus Christ on that day, that judgment day, representing yourself, I promise you it's not going to be enough. The thing about Jesus is he is your judge, my judge, and he's also our attorney, our advocate. My goodness, how important it is to know him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And look at verse number 11. I'm closing with this. Look at verse number 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Is he your Lord? I'm going to ask you, is he your Lord today? I'm not even talking about down the road somewhere. Is he your Lord today? Do you know him today? I'll use a couple of examples. You think about Paul, you think about John, you think about the surety that they had. If you read what they said, talking about the rewards that they believed in, you know, talking about the five crowns, won't go into all those kind of things, but God has given us rewards that if we are obedient to him, when we face the Lord one day, and when our works are judged, if our works are worthy, that we can actually win a reward. That's amazing, isn't it? The little ants that we are, that God would say, I'm going to give you a reward. You see, as the saved person trying to run this life as it's supposed to be ran, and I'm just saying, the way Paul would teach it and preach it, running this race with patience and endurance and striving. Do we not all strive for the mastery to win? Is that not what this life is about for the Christian? To do it right and to gain souls for Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. You think about the saved person trying to live this life, looking to face Christ under those terms versus a lost person. No hope of anything. Absolutely no crown, no reward, but just the thought, depart from me, I never knew you, I don't know you. And to be cast into everlasting torment. You say, that's sad, preacher, I don't know why you'd bring that up, because it's needed and it doesn't have to be. You could be saved today. Amen. I'm telling you, you know, I know people feel differently about things sometimes when I'm closing. When you think about things about funeral services, I remember years ago I was in law enforcement, there's a couple officers actually. They were telling me, they were saying, I hate going to a funeral and hearing them preachers get up there and preach on the gospel and trying to scare people into making a profession, trying to scare people into getting saved and things. That's before I was a preacher, but I want to tell you, I don't try to scare anybody into anything. A false confession is not a good confession. Here's the thing. If you want to do business with God, I've got to tell you what the truth is and let you decide. That's my accountability. God's saying, you tell them the truth. You share the truth with them at any time, at any cost. You share the truth with them. Then it's up to them. They decide. If I don't blow the trumpet, it's on me. But if I do blow the trumpet, then it's up to you. It's on you to decide. If you will, stand with me. Brother Nathan, will you lead us in? There's something about that name. I want to close.